Our first Bible reading from the Hebrew Bible is found on page 188 of the Old Testament. And Joshua and the Israelites had just finished their 40-year trek across the wilderness and had crossed the River Jordan into the Promised Land. The reading starts at verse 9. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt." And so that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 to 21. You can find that in page 170 in the New Testament in your pew Bibles. Hear these words. "From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." The word of God for the people of God.
We continue in the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 15, 1 through 3. 11b through 32. I had a great question this morning from somebody who had obviously read the lectionary. What's with the 11b? What does that mean? And if you look at the scripture that I'm going to read on page 73, you'll notice that often in the lectionary they start with a chunk of reading and then they go to another passage, and it's redundant to read some of the parts of that verse. And so they say B, which means start. Figure out where it would make sense and start there. So that's what I'll do. But maybe 11b will make sense when we read it. But follow along in your Bibles. My guess, my hope, is that this is a familiar story to you. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed his pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to the slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now, his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of his slaves and asked what was going on. The slave replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he's got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to start with a couple of questions for you. And the first one is, you need to look at your bulletin. I found this graphic on the internet, this painting. And apparently it was a good one because the Tongans are using it as well. But I want you to look at that. Can you see that picture? I'm going to make some assumptions, but I have a question for you. I'm assuming that the older gentleman with his face toward us is the Father, the compassionate Father. But the question for you is, which son is he hugging? Well, perhaps. I would suggest that the answer to that question is yes. That could be either son that he's hugging. And now another question for you. Think about that parable that we just read, where Jesus describes the two sons. Which of the two sons is the better son? Who is the better son? The one who got his inheritance money, he left town, he squandered it all and came back? Or the son who remained at home and was obedient throughout his life? Who was the better son? I'm all sorts of trick questions today. I don't think that's even a question that the Father has in mind. I don't think that even is a consideration in the mind of the compassionate Father. He doesn't compare his sons, but rather he loves them, each of them, completely and unconditionally and independently. Just like God, our Father in heaven, loves us. I want you to think about the scripture passages that Melba and Mark and Jane and I read this morning. I want you to think about maybe what lessons they may have to teach us. When you think about the passage from Luke about the father in this parable, we're tempted to believe that this father clearly favored the lost or prodigal son. That's what it seems like. Dad runs out to meet him. This wayward son gets the robe, the ring, the sandals, the fatted calf, and a big party to boot. The story seems to tell us, it seems to say that being sinful in the extreme really pays off. But think about it. The father did not really like the behavior of his wayward son at all. Clearly, he would have preferred the behavior of the son who remained at home, that obedient and righteous son. But the father is overjoyed to have his dead son returned to him, and so he calls for a celebration. But there's no point in comparing the two sons. The father loves each one completely and unconditionally, and he treats each one as the individual that he is. And Jesus tells us directly in other readings that there is no point in our comparing ourselves to others. Despite our basic human predilection to judge others, we should not judge others lest we ourselves be judged. Each of us would be much better served if we spent more time working on our own relationship with God and less time comparing ourselves with that other person who we see more often than not as the prodigal son. God loves you completely and unconditionally and independently. In your heart of hearts, when you are behind closed doors, which of these two sons is more like you? How would you characterize your relationship with God? Are you the wayward son who leaves home? Or are you the obedient son who follows his father's bidding? Today's psalmist, in the psalm that Jane read, makes some amazing observations about how good it feels to follow God and how miserable it can be to be out of touch, out of sync with God. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Well, not only does it feel good to you to get right with God, but it's also God's greatest desire to keep strong God's relationship with you because God loves you. In the epistle that Mark read, Paul instructs the people of the church at Corinth and in turn each of us about the power of being reconciled with God. Paul writes, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled with God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. Paul calls you to be reconciled with God, but also to be reconciled with each other. In the parable, the wayward son who comes back has made amends with his father, but he needs also to patch things up with the obedient brother who stayed at home. When you're ready to patch up this relationship, when you're prepared to work on your relationship with God, God is always prepared to welcome you with open arms, just as the compassionate father welcomed his wayward son. This reading from Joshua that Melba read about the chosen people reminds you that God is always prepared to meet you where you are and to help you move to the next level of reconciled relationship. Just as the Israelites were weaned off of the manna from heaven, when they were able to grow food for themselves, God calls you to new action when you're ready to accept the responsibility, when you're ready to feed yourself. Remember the reading from last week? God gives you only what you can handle. But God is eager to have you grow and mature in your relationship with God and in your spirituality. Consider this parable. Think about your relationship with God. When you admit to yourself and to God that you are the wayward child, God will forgive you and God will run out to meet you. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. My brothers and sisters, welcome home. Amen.